Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Ches. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, the last line. Here we are at the end of the 22nd paragraph of Masechet Shabbos. And we're coming off of a Mishnah. The Mishnah can be found on the bottom of Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah talked about bathing on Shabbos and toweling off after bathing. And then the Mishnah went through an assortment of various therapies on Shabbos, some of them being prohibited, some of them being permitted. We are now going through the Gemara, and the Gemara is treating each one of these therapies one by one, and we are discussing now Machzirnus Shever, resetting a bone. Bone breaks on Shabbos, and the question of whether or not one is allowed to reset it or not reset it. The Lashon of the Mishnah is Ein Machzirnus Shever, that one is not allowed to reset the bone. And the Gemara starts off the discussion. Amar Reb Chana Bagasa Amar Shmuel. Now we turn to the top of Kuf Mem Ches Amud Aleph, Halacha Machzirnus Shever. He says the halacha is that one is allowed to reset the bone. Now, obviously, this goes against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to reset the bone. And how can he just simply go against the Mishnah? You look at the top Rashi over here. Svira Le L'Shmuel Machzirin Tanan. It's a question of what the girsa of the Mishnah is. And Shmuel is of the opinion, says Rashi, that Shmuel, that the Mishnah should not be read Ein Machzirin Tashever, but just the opposite. The Mishnah should be read Machzirin as Hashever. That one is allowed to reset a bone. And the Gemara follows us up with the story. Rabba Bar Chana Iklo Lepumbedisa. Rabba Bar Chana traveled to Pumbedisa Lo Al Lepirke, and for whatever reason, he did not go to Shir to Rabbi Yehuda that was being given by Rabbi Yehuda. Shadre La Ada Daile. Rabbi Yehuda then, knowing that Rabba Bar Chana was in town, so he instructed his attendant, Ada Daile, Amalei Zilgarbe, and he says, I want you to go ahead and take his coat away from him, meaning from Rabbi Bar Chana, so that he is going to be strong-armed into going into Shir. Azilgarbe, so the attendant does exactly that. Also Ashkechet de Kadarish. And so now we have a awkward situation where Rabbi Bar Chana was strong-armed into going to Shir because his coat was taken away from him and not to be returned until he finds himself in Shir. And in a moment, we're going to be learning why it was so important for Rabbi Yehuda to have Rabbi Bar Chana in attendance. And so now they're going over a halacha, specifically the halacha of our Mishnah. He's darshaning in Machzirnus Hashever that one is not allowed to reset a bone on Shabbos. Now when Rabbi Bar Chana hears this, so now he says, okay, that's true, but I have a tradition in the name of Shmuel that you are allowed to reset a bone on Shabbos. So Amar Leh, so Rav Yehuda says, Ha Chana Didan, Ha Shmuel Didan. He says, that's so interesting. Chana is local to us, meaning he's here in Bavel. Shmuel also is local to us. And parenthetically, I'll also add, it's a little bit strange, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Shmuel. But anyway, so these are Talmid HaChachamim who are local to us, Velo Shmueli. And Rabbi Yehuda, who totally was trusting of Rabbi Bar Chana's tradition, so he says, I just simply didn't know about it. V'la b'dina gavartiach, and he says, now look, I was right. Meaning I was right in going ahead and taking your coat and making sure that you come to Shir. Because the truth of the matter is that had I not forced you to come to Shir, so then I wouldn't have had you correct me, and I'm happy that you corrected me. And so Rabbi Yehuda had a suspicion that Rabbi Bar Chana would be in a position where, if necessary, he would correct Rabbi Yehuda. And these Amoraim were interested in the truth, not in being right, but just simply in the truth. And so when he was corrected, so he was so happy. And so despite the fact that his tactics to get him to go to Shir was a little bit strong, but at the same time, however, he felt correct, he felt vindicated by the fact that he got to the emes, he got to the truth. Misha nifrika yado, now we're talking about a joint that is dislocated, an arm that's dislocated, a leg that's dislocated, and whether or not you're allowed to put it in on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to put it on Shabbos. You can run some water over it, but you cannot put it back in on Shabbos. And the Gemara follows this up with the story of Rav Avya Hava Yosef coming to Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was in front of Rav Yosef, shanyu le yadei, and his hand got dislocated. Amar le hachi amar. Amalei Hachimai. And now he turns to Rav Yosef, he says, what can I do? Can I do this? And Rav Yosef says, Aser, nope, that's prohibited. Hachimai, what about this? And obviously what he was showing him was some sort of remedy, some sort of therapy in order to try to help the situation. And Amalei Aser, and with everything that he was showing Rav Yosef said, Aser. We're going to have to add over here that this was at a point in time where Rav Yosef was still was still sighted. He still had the ability to see, or maybe he just simply described it to him. Either way, so Adahachi Itpech Yadei. Now, while asking all these questions about various manipulations in order to try to go ahead and relocate the dislocated joint, so his hand was healed, his arm was healed. Amrle Maiti Bailach. Now he says to him, now I'm really not sure what you're even asking, meaning it's a Mishnah. Hatanam, we learned in a Mishnah. And this is Rav Yosef giving tochacha to Rav Avi. He says, look, it's not a halachic question. We had a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Misha Nifrika Yado Raglo Lo Yitrafim Bitsonin. A person whose either arm or leg is dislocated, you cannot soak them in cold water. Aval Rochitz Kedarko. What you could do is you could rinse cold water on that area. Vimisrapinisrapin. Now, if it happens to heal on its own, that's fine, but you cannot actively heal it. So Amrle, so the response he said in his defense was, Velo Tanan Machirnas Shever. He says, okay, but let's go back to the previous point of the Mishnah. And that is resetting a bone. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to reset the bone. And meanwhile, Amr Rav Chana Bar Gassa, Amr Shmo Halacha Machirnas Shever. And meanwhile, it was amended to read that you are allowed to reset the bone. And so I figured like this, in terms of resetting a bone, so the Mishnah says one thing, but we have a tradition that goes the other way. In fact, we have a tradition it could be makel. I assume the same thing is true regarding a dislocated joint, even though the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to relocate it and put it back in place, but I would figure, look, it's the same thing, you're allowed to relocate it. So Amar Lei Kula Bechad Machta Mechtina. So Rav Yosef says to him, look, you just can't treat the Mishnah as one weaving fabric, meaning just because we amended the Mishnah in one area doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to amend it in other areas as well. When the Mishnah is amended, it's amended, but that's it. And when the Mishnah is not amended, so the Mishnah is not going to be amended, so you cannot simply go from one point of the Mishnah and jump to the next point of the Mishnah, making assumptions that both points are following the same train of thought, because that's not necessarily the case. Hajjal al-Chavis says the end of the 22nd parak of Masechta Shabbos, and now we begin here the 23rd parak of Masechta Shabbos, a word of introduction. We know that Mekach u'Memkar, the business on Shabbos, is forbidden. One cannot engage in business activities on Shabbos, even if no malacha is performed. That means to say that buying and selling and no money has been transacted and nothing was written down. But nevertheless, Mekach u'Memkar is also on Shabbos. Any kind of business is prohibited on Shabbos. But with that stated, if somebody comes over and asks to borrow something for Shabbos or for Yontiv on that Shabbos and on that Yontiv, and so therefore it's going to affect the Simchas Yontiv or the Oneg Shabbos, so then what you can do is you can give it to them with the understanding that at a later point in time after Yontiv or after Shabbos, they're going to pay it back. So even though it could be viewed as a transaction, in fact it is a transaction, nevertheless, it would be permitted to do as long as it was either for Tzorach Yontiv or for Tzorach Shabbos. So on Yontiv, if you need a cup of flour, you can borrow a cup of flour. On Shabbos, if let's say you need kikaros, you need loaves of bread, so you can go ahead and borrow loaves of bread with the understanding that you're going to return it. What the Mishnah is going to teach us now is that all this is correct, but you have to make sure that when you borrow something, you use the right terminology. And let's see the Mishnah. So I shall adam mechavero. A person can go ahead and borrow jugs of wine, jugs of oil, as long as he does not say the word halveni, lend it to me. Same thing is true regarding a woman and her neighbor. She can borrow loaves of bread. Now, if there's a question of trust, meaning that the lender is thinking to themselves, I'm not sure if I'm going to be getting paid back. In fact, history indicates that I don't get paid back from this individual. Excuse me. So what do you do under those circumstances? So what you do is you leave over your talis as a form of collateral, and then after Shabbos you go back and exchange. Let me have my talis back. Okay, you'll also pay me back for the bread I gave you or for the wine that I gave you. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that as long as you use the right terminology, so you can do these kinds of exchanges on Shabbos and on Yontif. Now, this is a little bit difficult to translate into the English language, meaning the Mishnah says that you have to use the language of She'ela, and you cannot use the language of Hava. Now, in the English language, when we're talking about borrowing a commodity versus borrowing money, so So the truth of the matter is that we use the same word. We use the word borrow. Right? Can I borrow eggs? Can I borrow $100? So it's a little bit hard to articulate in English exactly this distinction, but in Lashon HaKodesh, so you have the word She'ila and you have the word Hava. Now, even though both of them basically mean that I'm going to borrow and I'm going to return, but we all know that there's a basic difference between She'ila and Hava. When it comes to Hava, typically speaking, is by money. And that means to say that I'm going to be borrowing money, with the understanding, of course, is that I'm not paying you back the same money that I borrowed. I'm borrowing the money because I need the money. And what I'm going to do is that I will then get my hands onto other money and I'll pay you back other money. Right? This is a simple loan. On the other hand, if I am borrowing an item, an object, so typically what happens is I'm going to return the object that I borrowed. So the former money is what in Lashon HaKodesh is referred to as halval, while the latter, on the other hand, is referred to as she'ela. Okay, now over here, we are talking about borrowing oil and borrowing wine, either on Shabbos or on Yontif. Now over here, it's totally understandable that when you say you're borrowing oil, you're borrowing wine, it doesn't really matter which lashon you're using, whether you're using she'ela or whether you're using hava. It's all understood that you are borrowing in order to consume it. And that which you're going to be paying back is going to be replacement. You're obviously not returning back the same item. So the truth of the matter is that here, in this particular case, the word havar, the word she'ela, as it relates to what you're actually doing, it's not going to really make a difference because it's understood. You're consuming it, and you're going to replace it. So what we need to understand, and the Gemara is going to ask this question, so we're going to hold up on the till we get to the Gemara, until we understand why. But what we need to understand is, well, if this is true, so then what's the difference whether you use the language of havar versus the language of She'ela? The Mishnah is dead set on the idea that you must use the language of She'ela and you can't use the language of Hava. And of course, the question is, what's the difference? It comes out to be the same thing. Fine. So we're going to come back to that point, and then let's just first finish up the Mishnah. V'chein, Erev Pesach, B'Yushalayim, Shechalios B'Shabbos. Now, let's say that it is an Erev Pesach, 14th day of Nisan, and it happens to coincide with the Shabbos. So, and you want an animal for your Karban Pesach, Menir Taliso Etzlo, Venotos Pischo. So, you're going to go to somebody now because you want an animal for your Karban Pesach. And why you waited up until this point in time is a bit of a mystery. You had now 2 weeks to get your Karban Pesach. You had more than 2 weeks to get your Karban Pesach. And the idea that you're waiting till the actual day of the 14th, okay. But that's the Musar for today. That obviously speaks a little bit about procrastination, but regardless, the point is that you need a Karban Pesach, so you're going to go to somebody who now is selling animals, and you go ahead and you buy the animal on Yontif, on Shabbos, which is Erev Yontif, and, says the Mishnah, you're going to give him collateral, because, again, the Mishnah is assuming that under the circumstances where the seller is a little bit unsure as to whether or not you're going to pay him back. So fine, so you can give him some collateral. And that way he'll have a security. And he knows you're going to come back in order to have to pay because you're going to want to take back your collateral. And the Mishnah goes on, V'osi mocheshb l'achar yantav, and you'll make a cheshbon after yantav. Now keep in mind that Erev Pesach was a Shabbos, which of course means the next day is yantav. So that means to say that the next time that we're able to settle the score in terms of the cheshbon is only going to be the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is going to be 2 days later, not the next day. So, as we pointed out, right now the glaring difficulty within the Mishnah is going to be the language that's used. The Mishnah says that if you go to your neighbor and you're going to borrow either oil or wine, so you have to use the word She'ela, you cannot use the word Hava, and what's the difference? So, Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanan La'Abaye Mishnah, what's the difference? Hashalenu Mishnah Havenu. It doesn't matter what language you should use, or at least it doesn't seem to matter. And the Mishnah says it really does matter. And the Gemara seeks understanding. And this is the question that Rava Bar Rav Chanan asks from Abai. So Amalei, so in response, Abai says, Hashileni lo asa lemechtav, halveni asa lemechtav. Well, if you use the language of Hashileni, we're not going to end up writing it down. But if you use the language of halveni, we're going to end up writing it down. Now, why should that be? So let's take a look at Rashi together, because Rashi over here is really interesting. Rashi writes, it's Rashi immediately after the Gemara, Halveni Mashmal is Man Meruba. So when you say the word Halveni, so that indicates that it's going to be alone and specifically for a long time. Generally speaking, if there is a loan of money, and we do not dictate when the loan is going to terminate. So a standard loan is going to be minimum 30 days. And so then what's going to happen is that the lender realizes that he's not going to be able to collect for another 30 days. So on the day that he lends the money, he's going to want to write it down in his notebook and say, I lent this much money. And so it'll be a reminder to himself that he lent the money and he needs to go ahead and to collect it. So Rashi says that's the difference between the word hava versus she'ila. Hava, typically speaking, is for a long period of time. And every time you say the word hava, so you are conditioned to write that down. And obviously, being that it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're not allowed to write it down. On the other hand, if you said the word she'ila, she'ila is for a shorter duration of time. And so, you know, people didn't typically write it down. It wasn't preconditioned. We are not preconditioned to have to write it down if you say the word she'ila. That is Rashi's explanation. Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam fundamentally disagrees. Rabbi Natam is of the opinion that Stam She'ila Lamed Yom, that even a loan of an item is going to be, if not specified, for 30 days, just like Stam Hava Shloshim Yom. And so what we're not going to go through is Tosfos is therefore going to have to give a different explanation of the Gemara. In fact, Rabbi Natam brings down a number of proofs that this is so, that Stam She'ila Shloshim Yom. You also have to defend Rashi, meaning Rashi knows these Gemaras as well that Tosfos quotes. In the meantime, however, right now we're just going to stay with Rashi. The difference between She'ila and Hava'a is that when you use the word Hava'a, that's for a longer period of time, and therefore a person is going to be tempted to write it down. On the other hand, if you use the word She'ila, which is typically for a shorter period of time, so people don't write it down. That is the Gemara's proposal. That's a biased proposal in terms of what the difference is between the two. So the Gemara presses on this point. Veha, Kevin de Bechol, Zimnin, Debai, Lameimer, Le, we're back in the Gemara. So during the week, so there are times, Debai, Lameimer, Le, Haveni, Vamer, Le, Hashileni, Velo, Kapit, Ilave. So these terms are interchangeable, says the Gemara, that you're supposed to say Haveni, instead you say Hashileni, and no one's going to void the contract just simply because you used the term Haveni as opposed to Hashileni. So b'Shabbos nami asu lemechtav, and so since these terms are interchangeable during the week, so why on Shabbos now are we arguing that, well, if I use the word halveni, I'm going to write it down. If I use the word hashileni, I'm not going to write it down. When meanwhile during the week, they're pretty much interchangeable. So amarle. So as the response is, we're going to skip the parentheses. B'Shabbos came to hashileni who desharulei rabbanan halveni lo sharulei min kara milsa v'lo asu lemechtav. So the response is, look, on Shabbos, so the Chachamim gave very clear instructions. On Shabbos, you can only use the word Hashileni. You cannot use the word Halveni. So it's true during the week, these terms are basically interchangeable terms, but on Shabbos, you must use the term She'ila. In fact, if you use the word Hava, it simply doesn't work. And so since the Chachamim were so makbid on Shabbos to use the word She'ila, it serves there as a reminder that this is something that you're not allowed to write down. We just went through the exchange between Rav Abba, Rav Chanan and Abai vis-a-vis an understanding of our mission in terms of why the language that's used when you're borrowing something on Shabbos or on Yom Tov must be the term She'ila as opposed to Halva. So the Gemara now is going to record a couple of other conversations that take place between Rav Abba, Rav Chanan and Abai. A couple of others. We are four lines from the bottom on the Amud Aleph, Kuf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. Amalei Rav Abba, Rav Chanan, Abai Mechti. Let us consider. On Yom Tov, if you can make any kind of deviation, you should do so. Meaning there are a number of heterim, there are a number of leniencies that are given on Yom Tov, but still, just as a reminder that it's Yom Tov, so if there's a possibility to deviate, so then once you deviate. So, and meanwhile, the practice is that when the women go ahead and collect water, they're drawing the water on Yom Tov from the well, so they're not doing any kind of deviation whatsoever. And I would like to understand, we learned that you should be deviating, and I see practically the women are not deviating. So the answer is Mishum Delo Efshar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the reason why they're not deviating over there is because there simply is no alternative. And Hechili Abdu. And the Gemara now goes through four different types of alternatives of what you might have thought that they can do, but the Gemara is going to explain that really these are not alternatives. So number one, if they're using big jugs, So instead, on this particular yontif, they should be using small jugs. The Gemara says, "Hakanav shibi hilucha," but that's not a good alternative because then obviously they're going to have to make more trips, and on yontif, making more trips means just simply more walking. And okay, that's something that should be avoided if possible. And the Gemara says, and number two, demali bechatzah zuta limle bechatzah rabba. If they're using small jugs, if they normally collect with small jugs, so maybe they should be collecting with larger jugs. Kamav shibi masu. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not going to be helpful. Because then the jugs are going to be heavier, and so they're going to be weighed down with heavier jugs, and again, that's also not optimal. As now we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Nifre Sudre, so the Gemara says, so what should you do now? So should they put some sort of handkerchief, some sort of towel on top of the jug to remind them that it is Yantiv? So I'll see Lidei Schita, but then it's going to get wet, and you're going to squeeze it out, and you're violating the Malach of Schita. So that's not a good option. And finally, number four, Nichseya bin Nichtama, maybe it should be covered with a lid, and the lid should be tied to the jug. So the Gemara says that's not a good option. It's Zimn and Domestic, because sometimes the tie that connects the lid to the jug is going to break. Vasi Lemikterein, you're going to want to knot it again. And knotting it again on Yantav is going to be a violation of Yantav. You're making a kesher. So Hilkach Lo Efsher, so therefore there just simply is no alternative way to make a shinui where you're not running into another problem. Okay, so, and the whole point on Yom Tov is only when it's Efsher Lishanuye, only when it's possible to make a shinui, and over here it's just simply not possible to make a shinui. As long as we are going through exchanges between these two Amorim, the Gemara has one more exchange to go through, Amar Le Rava Barav Chanan L'Abaye Tanan. So first we're going to start with the Mishnah and Beitzah. The Mishnah says, Lo maspikim, lo mitapchim, lo miraktim Yom Tov. So one is not allowed to clap on Yantav, one is not allowed to bang their feet, and one is not allowed to dance on Yantav. Now, exactly what the Mishnah is referring to in terms of these activities, Rashi gives the indication that we're talking about Avelus. Tosfos says, no, we're not talking about Avelus. Rather, we're talking about joy, meaning Simchas Yantav, they want to dance, they want to clap. Regardless, whatever the motivation is, you're not allowed to do so. Now, why not? So the Gemara in Beis over there explains because once you get into the habit of producing sound with your body by clapping and stomping your feet, so ultimately what you're going to want to do is that you're going to want to make instruments and then you may come to fix the instrument. It's Gzeirat Derabbanan. And so the Mishnah makes it very clear that one is not allowed to clap and one's not allowed to dance. And meanwhile, the Kachazina Davdin. And meanwhile, I'm looking around and I see that people are dancing on Yantav. People are clapping on Yantav. V'lo armina lehu v'lo midei. And the Talmidei Chachamim, the Rabbanim, are not saying anything. The Gemara says, okay, but based on your argument, on your logic, Hadam or Rava, let's consider now a statement that was made by Rava. Now, it happens to have been that we went over the statement a week ago in the Daf on Kuf Mem Aleph, and that is, L'leisa v'nisha puma delichiri, a person may not sit at the edge of his mavui, right by the lechi. Because what happens is, what may happen is that a object is just going to roll right into the street, into the Rishus Arabim, but less than 4 amas, and he's going to think to himself, okay, no problem at all. It's not 4 amas away from me. It's less than 4 amas away from me. I'll just simply pick it up and put it and bring it back to me. Not being sensitive to the idea that the item was in the Rishus Arabim and he just brought it into the Mavui, which is the Rishus Arabim Min HaTorah, and so he just violated the Malacha of Hachnasa. He just brought something in from the Rishus Rabbim to the Rishus Yachid. Now it's hard to see that because the Mavui sometimes gives off the impression that it looks like a Rishus Rabbim, and even though there's a Lechi right there, but it happens to be that he's sitting right on the edge. And so Rava says, in order to avoid the entire problem, don't sit on the edge. Don't sit right by the Lechi. And meanwhile, Vaka Chazina Nami Demusve Chatzve V'yasmana Puma Demavoa. And yet, meanwhile, I see the practices that people are sitting right by the edge of the Mavui, right by the Lechi. And so, therefore, look, I see people are violating the Mishnah Beitzah, and people are clapping and dancing on Yantav. I see people are violating the rule of Rava, of not sitting right by the edge of the Mavui. So, what the response is, Elohanachli, Yisrael Mutav Shu Shogim Al-Yu Mizidim. So he says, look, certain occasions, under certain circumstances, it's better to leave people in their ignorance, because if you inform and if you educate, so now when they do the same thing, they're going to be no longer doing so in a state of shogeg, but now they're going to be doing so in a state of mazid, and that obviously is going to be worse. So sometimes it's better to leave them in a state of shogeg, and that reduces the liability. Now, Sofer Mini Hanemila B'Derabanan. Now, this rule, at first he thought that this rule only applies to Dine D'Rabanan. It happens to have been that the two examples that we just gave are Dine D'Rabanan. Not clapping and dancing on Yontov is a gzera, because you may end up fixing a kli shir, a musical instrument. The gzera of Rava, not sitting at the edge of the mavui, is because of a gzera that you may end up bringing an item from the Rishus Rabim into the mavui. Both of those are gzera d'Rabanan. So I might have thought this rule only applies to gzera d'Rabanan, Baba d'Raisa, but not if it's a din d'Raisa. And by din d'Raisa, if you see somebody violating a din d'Raisa, you got to tell them, you got to educate. Velohi, the Gemara says, Loshanam b'Derabanan, Loshanam b'Deraisa, but the Gemara says, no, but it doesn't make a difference. Da'ato sefes Yom Kippurim d'Raisa, because we know the halacha is that on Yom Kippur, you must start fasting before Yom Kippur actually starts. This is based on a drasha. V'kachazin lu d'kach l'v'shasar ha'shetech shach. And meanwhile, we find that there are people who are eating right up until Shkia and not adding on to Yom Kippur. And nobody says anything. And the reason why nobody says anything is based on the principle of Mutav Shiyushogim Valu Mezidim. It's better that they remain in a state of Shogi rather than being amazed. So, our Gemara's conclusion over here is that when you see somebody doing something wrong, so there are times where it is better to leave them in their state of ignorance because of Mutav Shiyushogim Valu Mezidim. Now, this obviously has to be balanced with the idea that there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Tochacha, that at times when you see somebody doing something wrong, so you have to rebuke. It's a pasuk in the Torah that you have to rebuke somebody. So, when do you give Tochacha, and when do we say Mutav Shiyushogim Ayu Mezidim? So that's an excellent question, and that makes for a shir all in of itself. So, we're going to go on, but just recognize and realize that this is a very, very big topic that obviously needs a lot more clarification. And right now, all we get to see in this Gemara is just simply one piece of the puzzle. We're up to the next part of the Mishnah, which is that one woman can borrow loaves of bread from another woman. So, and the Mishnah says that on Shabbos, so one is not allowed to do that in the form of a hava. But if it's a she'ela, if you're using the right language, so one is allowed to do that. Now, b'Shabbos u'da'as or v'b'chol shapir dami. Now, in Shabbos, it's going to be forbidden, but during the week, it's going to be okay. Le'mem asis and delo kehilo. Now, the implication of the Mishnah is that there's a Shabbos consideration, but that's it. There's only a Shabbos consideration, but there's no other consideration. And specifically, what we're talking about over here is the consideration of ribis, of charging interest. Did not we have a Mishnah v'chein ha'yahilo omer? So in Bab Mitzia, where the topic of ribis is discussed extensively, so the Mishnah over there says that according to Shita Hillel, a woman cannot lend a loaf of bread to her friend unless the price of the loaf of bread is appraised at that point in time. Because what's the concern? Hillel spells it out. If you don't appraise the price of the bread, so that means to say that I lend the bread, one woman lends bread to another woman, and now price fluctuation, and it could be that when the bread eventually is returned a week later, not that bread, but obviously it's replacement bread, is returned a week later, 2 weeks later, so maybe at that point in time, the bread now is going to be of a higher value. And that means to say that the woman now who is getting paid back the bread is actually going to get paid back more in value. And this would be an issue of ribis. Just a little bit of background information in order to appreciate this a little bit better. So we know that ribis min d'oraisa. How does one violate ribis of the Torah? And that is that at the origination of the loan, so it's clear the lender says to the borrower, I'm lending you $1,000 with the understanding that you're paying me back $1,100. And that is what's called in halacha ribis kitzutza, where at the origination of the loan, the lender is telling the borrower that he's expecting to get paid back principal and interest as well. And that is the Issa D'Oraisa Ribis. Now, what about Avak Ribis? What about the Issa D'Rabbanan Ribis? And that's going to be where it was not established at the origination of the loan that I'm paying interest, but at some point during the loan or at the end of the loan, so interest is paid. And so this is what's called Avak Ribis. This is called Ribis Sheina Kutsutsa. And under these circumstances, this is still a violation of ribis mid derabanan. And so this would be a perfect example of avak ribis. This is an isser of ribis mid derabanan. Because over here, certainly, when the woman borrowed the loaf of bread from her friend, so she certainly, there was no stipulation that you're going to have to pay me more. It was just simply understood that I'm going to pay you back a loaf of bread at a later point in time. At that later point in time, if the loaf of bread that's paid back is of a greater value, so now this turns out that the woman who lent the bread is going to be receiving more than what she lent in terms of value, and thereby violating the Isser of Avak Ribis. This is a Isser de Rabbanan, but nevertheless, obviously, it's an Isser de Rabbanan. So that is the sheet of Hillel. So what now becomes the issue is trying to make sense of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that on Shabbos, if a woman were to lend bread to another woman, so you have to do it with the correct terminology. You cannot use the term Hava, you must use the term She'ela, which gives the impression that that's the only issue. But in other words, if you take Shabbos out of the discussion and we move it during a weekday, so then there would be no problem whatsoever. Of course, the problem with that is that that goes against the sheet of Hillel, and that means that our Mishnah is not in agreement with the sheet of Hillel. And the Gemara says, I just simply have difficulty imagining that our Mishnah is not going like Hillel. So the Gemara says, Afilo Tema Hillel. No, you could say that our Mishnah is going like Shita's Hillel. Haba Asur Deketz Tameha, Haba Asur Delo Ketz Tameha. So the Gemara says, it depends where you're living. Are you living in a community where the loaf of bread is price locked by the market? Are we talking about where it's free enterprise, it's a free market on everything, including bread? And that means to say that if I'm living in a community where the government, the market, is telling you how much to sell bread for, so then there should be no problem of ribbis whatsoever, because we now know that bread is at a fixed price, and so therefore there is no concern of fluctuation of price, and therefore there's no concern of a potential violation of ribbis. And that's the case of our Mishnah. On the other hand, when Hillel was concerned, Hillel was talking about a community where there was no fixing of the price of bread, and so now bread operates with a free market environment, and so therefore you have the problem of the prices fluctuating, and it could very well be that the lender is going to get paid back bread that has more greater value than the bread that she gave originally, and therefore and thereby violating the Yisur Rabbanan of Ribbis. And that is a way of resolving the discrepancy between the sheet of Hillel and our Mishnah. Im eino ma'amino. And now we get to talk a little bit more about a loan that begins on either Shabbos or on Yontif. And the discussion that we're going to be having from this point going forward is a question of collection. Now, it is a loan and it is collectible. The Gemara's discussion is going to be, how collectible a loan are we talking about? Itmar. Havas Yom Tov, when you have a loan that starts on Yom Tov, like our Mishnah describes. Now, by the way, our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos, the Gemara is here talking about Yom Tov, it's Hainoach, it's the same thing. Meaning it's the same basic idea, that you are allowed to make a loan on Shabbos on Yom Tov, but only under the circumstances where it's for the purpose of Shabbos, it's for the purpose of Yom Tov, and you have to then go back to our Mishnah, where you're using the right language. You're using the language of She'ela as opposed to Havah. But nevertheless, when all said and done, it is a loan. And now a discussion of how collectible is it. Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna li tava. So Rav Yosef is of the opinion that you cannot take the other party to Beis Din. That means to say that you can ask the other party to pay you back, but if the other party is reluctant and simply refuses to pay you back, so that's it. You have no recourse and you can't take the person to Beis Din. And Rav Amar nitna li tava. And Rav is of the opinion that no, you do have recourse and you can take him to Beis Din. Now Rav Yosef Amar lo nitna li tava di Amar nitna li tava asil mechtav. Now, Rav is of the position that, look, if, in fact, you have the kind of recourse where you can go to Beis Din, so then that would incentivize people to write the loan down. Meaning that if I know that I get to take the person to Beis Din in order to collect my loan, so on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, where the loan is originated, so I'm thinking to myself, wait one second. I have to now take into consideration that that person may not pay me back, and I'm going to have to take him to court. So let's put this on record right now, and you're going to be tempted to write it down. And obviously the whole point is that it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, and you're not allowed to write. And Rabba Amar Nitin Litava, Rabba's of the position that it is collectible and based in Di Amar Lo Nitna Lo Yav Le Vasim Lehem Noyim Simchas Yom Tov. Now Rabba's argument is, no, it's collectible and based in. Because consider that if it is not collectible and based in, so then people are not going to be that incentivized to go ahead and to lend to other people. Because if I'm going to lend you something, but I don't have any recourse in terms of how to get it back, so you know what? I'm not going to lend it to you to begin with. And so people will just simply be reluctant to lend to one another. And the Chacham realized that that's a terrible situation. And there will be a lack of Simchas Yontov. Somebody has a need on Yontov. He's missing whatever ingredients he's missing. And he's going around asking for people. But if nobody's giving to that family because he can't go to Beis Din, and nobody wants to give on a really good chance that they're not going to get it back, so that is going to be Menia Simchas Yontov. You're preventing Simchas Yontov. So therefore, the argument is that you are allowed to go to Beis Din, so that will promote people to go ahead and to lend when knowing that they have recourse. And so obviously what we have over here is the standard discussion of the Gemara of basically what we have to balance is two opposing values. On one hand, if there is recourse to go to Beis Din, it's going to incentivize people to write, which is something obviously you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, and we certainly don't want to promote and incentivize people to write on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On the other hand, if you don't allow people to go to Beis Din, so no one's going to want to lend, and then that's going to be prevention of Simchas Yom Tov. And so obviously the Machlokus over here, they both agree to each other's point. It's just a question of, with these competing values, which of these competing values is going to prevail? So right now we're in the middle of a Machlokus Amaraim in terms of a loan that originated on Yom Tov. So can you take the person to court? Can you not take the person to court? And now the Gemara is going to go with a number of rounds trying to see which one seems to be the more defensible position amongst the Mishnayos. Tanan, we are now the second wide line down on the Amud. So let's take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if there's a question of trust between the two parties, so then what the lender can do is demand collateral. Now, so if you can't go to court, I certainly understand the need for collateral, because this is going to be security. This is going to be the means in which you get paid back, because there's no other recourse. You can't go to court. But if in fact you're allowed to go to court, so then what's the whole point of demanding collateral? In other words, just simply say, look, if you don't pay me back, we're going to go to court. So the Gemara's answer, it's an intuitive answer, you probably guessed it already. Amar lobina deleka medina vidaine. So the reason why I'm demanding collateral, even though I can go to court, is because court's a hassle. We go to court and it's a process. And I don't want to go through the process. Meanwhile, if I'm holding collateral in my hand, it's really easy, because now I know that you're going to be super motivated to pay me back because I'm holding an item of yours. So obviously, holding collateral is just a lot easier than going to court. Going to court is an option. Just happens to be that holding collateral is a better option. Meisi Rabidi Barav, and the Gemara says, okay, well, let's consider now the following scenario. Next Mishnah. Hashochet is the part of Vechilka Barosh Hashanah. Im haya chodesh mubar mishami v'im la v'ina mishamit. This Mishnah over here in Shemitah, in Shvius, 10th Perek, is describing the following circumstance. We are at the end of the 7th year. Now we know, we all know the basic halacha, and that is a loan that occurs any time before the end of the 7th year. So once the end of the 7th year rolls around, meaning that means to say Rosh Hashanah, of the 8th year, so that is going to be Shemitah's Ksafim. That will be a cancellation of the loan. And so over here, what we're describing is where you are basically borrowing a cow on Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. And the question now becomes, is that are you obligated to pay the person that you borrow the cow from? I say borrow, you understand. You lent the you borrowed in the sense that you're going to obviously make use of it and you're going to pay for it after Yom Tov is over. And so it depends. And the Mishnah here says in Shvius, im haya chodesh meubar. Now understand that Rosh Hashanah can come out in one of two days. It can either come out on the 30th day of Elul or the 31st day of Elul. Now, the in practice, now that we have a fixed calendar, there aren't two options. But we're going back to a time where there wasn't a fixed calendar, and therefore there are two possible options where either can come out on the 30th or on the 31st. Now, this is one of the more interesting phenomena where, generally speaking, when we're talking about Yontif, we're talking about the 15th of the month, but and even on Shavuos, we're talking about the 6th of the month, but we're talking here about a Yontif where it occurs on the 1st of the month. Now, typically, the only thing that happens on the 1st of the month is just a simple Rosh Chodesh. Yes, there's a minute for women not to work on Rosh Chodesh, but it's not a Yontif. Meanwhile, over here, we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. So what we do is as follows. On the 30th, which is a candidate for Rosh Hashanah, so we are going to practice that day as if it's Rosh Hashanah. But if for whatever reason, Basin decides that that day is not going to be Rosh Hashanah, but rather the next day is going to be Rosh Hashanah, so fine. So then the 31st day is going to become Rosh Hashanah. And the 30th day is just simply the 30th day of Elul. So far, so good. Meanwhile, the cow was taken by the person on the 30th day of Elul. And now let's see the mission together. Im haya chodesh mubar. So let's say the month turns into an Iber month, which means to say that the 30th is the 30th day of Elul, and it's only the next day which is going to be Rosh Hashanah. So that means to say that when did the loan occur? During the 7th year. Admittedly, the last day of the 7th year, but still, during the 7th year. And now the very next day is going to be Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah now going to do to that loan? Cancel the loan. The Imlav, on the other hand, let's say that that Rosh Hashanah actually is a regular Rosh Hashanah. That means to say that the 30th day actually now is Rosh Hashanah. So Einam Hashamit. So now the loan is not going to be canceled. Because when did this loan occur? In the beginning of the 8th year. And therefore the loan is not going to be canceled. So really interesting Mishnah and Shvi'is. And now the Gemara is going to analyze. Elo nitna li tava. Now let's think about this for a moment. If we're talking about a scenario where you can't take the person to court. So my Mishamet. So what does that mean that the loan is canceled? Meaning, I couldn't anyway go to court. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam digla misl decholhu. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Let's consider. In the first case in that Mishnah, if Rosh Hashanah is now moved to the next day, so then what's the 30th day? The 30th day, even though we practiced it as a day of Rosh Hashanah, but now retroactively we look back at it and what do we realize? It's a regular weekday. As a regular weekday, therefore, it's just a simple loan that occurred on a regular weekday, and now we understand that under normal circumstances, you could have taken the person to court, but now because you have the next day being Rosh Hashanah, so now the loan's going to be canceled. So the Gemara says, fine. So that doesn't present a problem whatsoever. So Tashma mi Seifa, the Gemara says, okay, but let's now move on to the next case of the Mishnah. Im lav ina mishamit. However, if, let's say, the first day of Rosh Hashanah actually was the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so then ino mishamit, the loan is not going to be canceled because now that means that the loan actually originated on the first day of the 8th year. And so therefore, it is not going to be canceled. Now, Iyamar b'shlam anitna litava hainu diktan ina mishami. Now, it makes sense to say that if I can go to court, so then I understand the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, eno mishamit, that the loan is not going to be canceled. Iyamar lo nitna litava. But if I can't go to court, amai ina mishamit. So the Gemara asks the question, so what does it mean, the loan is not canceled? I can't take the person to court, but the Gemara gives the answer, which is pretty obvious, which is the Yayv Le Shakil. Okay, I can't take the person to court, but if he comes over to me and says to me, hey, I know I owe you the money, and he pays me, so I'm allowed to accept the money. So the Gemara says, Mechlal Dereisha, Yayv Le Lo Shakil. So the Gemara says, okay, but going back to the Reisha now, where the loan occurred on the 30th day of Elul, which is the 30th day of Elul, not Rosh Hashanah, so if he wants and he pays me, so I'm not allowed to take. So the Gemara says, Reisha Sarach Lememer Le Mishamit Ani. Well, in the Reisha, what you must say at this point in time is Mishamit Ani. Meaning, even though Rosh Hashanah, so to say, cancels the loan, again, in the Reisha, you borrow the money on the 30th day of Elul, which turns out to be the 30th day of Elul. And then what happens is that after Rosh Hashanah, so you now go ahead, the other person comes over to you and says, look, I want to pay. So what you must say is the words Mishamit Ani. Meaning you must say that I forgive the loan, even though the Torah forgives it, but there's a requirement on top of that that you must say, I forgive the loan. The Seifa lo tzarich lememor le mishamit ani. But in the Seifa, you do not need to say it. In fact, you are totally within your right to go ahead and collect the loan. And kid did not. And this idea of the requirement to say Mishaman Ani, it's a Mishnah and Shvias, a Machzir Chov, Shvias, Yomer Lo, Mishaman Ani, Vim Amar Lo, Afa Piken, Yikabel Mimenu, Misham Shenemer, Vizet Dvar Shemitah. Somebody comes and tries to return a loan that Shemitah canceled, so your requirement is to say Mishaman Ani. Now, let's say the bar is insistent, so then you can accept it, but you must say the words Mishaman Ani. How come there is this requirement that you have to articulate the words Mishaman Ani? Because Zed Dvar HaShemitah, the word Dvar means Dibor. Okay, so what comes out now is that from this mission regarding Rosh Hashanah, there is no clear indication as to whether or not you can take the person to court or not take the person to court. There is no clear indication on either side, neither from the Reisha and from the Seifa, as to whether or not you can take a person to court. Where do we now land on this entire discussion? After having gone through our Mishnah regarding collateral, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah regarding the barring of a cow, the purchasing of a cow on the 30th day of Elul. So what we come out is no clear indication from either Mishnah in terms of whether or not you could take the person to court or not for a loan that was originated on Yontif. Rav Avi Shakal Mashkona, Rav Avi would take collateral, Rabba Barula Mare Meirume, and Rabba Barula would do a harama. Literally, he would trick, he would deceive. But that means to say, explains Rashi, that after the loan that occurred on Yontif, so what he would do is he would just go over to the borrower and he said to the borrower, hey, do me a favor, can I borrow something from you? And asks for an item. And now he puts himself in a position where now he's holding a security. So now that he's holding a security, he's going to be in a much better position to go ahead and to collect back his loan. Okay, and all this would indicate what? That you can't take the person to court? That you can't take the person to court? So the so it's interesting. So certainly you could have made the argument that the practices of these Amorim would indicate that you cannot take the person to court, and that's why they were insistent on taking collateral. But Tosfos does not agree. You can see the Tosfos, Rabbi Amar Nitin Litava, Halacha Karabba Lagabi Rav Yosef. So first of all, Tosfos very clearly rules that the halacha is like Rabbah as opposed to Rav Yosef, and Rabbah is of the opinion that you can take the person to court. So if that's the case, so now we're going to ask the question, if now the halacha falls like Rabbah, so then what is the practice of these Amoraim where they were insisting on taking collateral as opposed to going to court? So the first answer we could give very simply is that, as the Gemara itself already pointed out, it's just so much easier to collect a loan using collateral than having to go to court. But then, on top of that, we can also add, if you take a look at the very next Tosfos, it's in smaller print, but Tosfos writes, Rav Avia, Rabba, Ula, Mechamri, Anafshayu. So Rav Avia and Rabba were machmir on themselves, meaning that even though the halacha follows like Rabba and you can't take the person to court, but they accepted upon themselves a chumrah, that if a loan originates on Yontif, they took it upon themselves not to go to court, and so therefore they went with the methodology of taking collateral. That is Tosfos' understanding of their practice. We are on the two dots on Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis V'chein Erev Pesach, Amar of Yochanan. Ma'akdish Adam Pischo B'Shabbos V'Chagigaso B'Yom Tov. A person can go ahead and consecrate his Karban Pesach on Shabbos. And again, we're going back to a scenario in which the 14th day of Nisan fell out on a Shabbos, and now you're purchasing your animal on that Shabbos. And so, what Rav Yochanan says is that you could be Maktish it. Now, we have to understand that the statement of Rav Yochanan is seemingly going to go against a Mishnah. In a moment, we're going to be seeing together a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Beitza states very clearly that low Maktish, that one is not allowed to consecrate on Yontif. It could be viewed as a kind of transaction, a kind of commercial activity. It's not really the best way to say it. You're being mocked as shit, but you're giving something a new status on Yontif. However you want to say it, the Mishnah says lo makdishin. So we're going to have to deal with that Mishnah in just a little bit. But in the meantime, Rav Yochanan says that you can be makdish a Karban Pesach on Shabbos, meaning that Shabbos is the 14th day of Nisan, you can still be makdish it. And you're, excuse me, your Karban Chagiga, you could be Maktish on Yom Tov. Meaning you didn't do so prior to Yom Tov, you could still do so on Yom Tov itself. Name him Esayele. So the Gemara says, okay, and now let's take a look at our Mishnah. The first Mishnah of the 23rd Perek of Masechet Shabbos. V'cheiner, Pesach v'Yerushalayim shechalios b'Shabbos miniach taliso etzov v'notel pischo v'osimo cheshbon la'achar yom tov. So our Mishnah is talking about the purchasing of a carbon Pesach on that Shabbos. And so if you're purchasing it on that Shabbos, presumably that means that it's eino mukdash, nobody consecrated it yet, and so you're consecrating it on Shabbos, which would seem to be now an excellent support for Rav Yochanan. So hacha b'maiskinan b'maman acherim mimo al pischo. The mi'ikara mikdash v'kai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we can make an ukimta. We can say that the Mishnah is talking about a specific circumstance, and that means to say that it was already mukdash. You did so in conjunction with other people, and they were already mukdash the animal, and you just simply want to buy in and your share on the animal. So the Gemara says, v'anan t'nani nimnam al behema b'tchila b'yamtov. So the Gemara says, okay, but we know that you're not allowed to register on an animal on Yantiv. So the Gemara says, Shani Hach, became the Ragalat Slo, Kamandi Imne Mebe Karadama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is a group of people that always dine together. And so this is not as if to say that you are registering it for the first time. They're expecting you. And since they're expecting you, it's Ki'ilu, it's as if you're already registered. Vatani Rabbi Yoshi Ahole Khadam Eitzel Rowa Haragal Sovenosin Lo Tle Lepischo Makdisho Viyotse Bo. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Braisa. Braisa of Rabbi Yoshi says that you can go to the shepherd that you normally go to. He'll give you a sheep for your Karban Pesach, and you're going to be Makdishit. And presumably we're talking about even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Asanami Kevin Deragal Slo Adushalami Kara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but since you go to him normally, and he's expecting you to come, so that means to say that we can also suggest that he was already Makdishit before Shabbos. V'ham Makdish Ketani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you're reading the language of the Braisa really carefully, that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like you're actually going to be Makdishit. So the Gemara says, Hektish Iluye Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, it's just as a Chumra, meaning it's already Mukdash, but you're being Makdishit almost like as if to say, as a personal hektesh. You're not really adding anything to the hektesh, but just simply as a chumra, you're going to be makdishit as your karm pesach, even though halachically it's not doing anything. That could be a way to read the braisa. Anyway, comes out now that Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that you could be makdishit karm pesach on Shabbos, as Shabbos is erev pesach, where you need to bring the karm pesach, and so you could be makdishit on that Shabbos. And now the problem. Umi amar Rav Yochanan hachi, v'ham Rav Yochanan halacha istam mishnah. Meanwhile, Rav Yochanan says that the halacha falls like a istam mishnah, v'tanan, and we learned, la makdishim, v'la marichim, v'la machrimim, v'la magbiyan, trumas amaisos. Kol eila b'yom tov, amru kavachomer b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to consecrate, nor make an erech pledge, nor make a cherem, which is another way of consecration. One is not allowed to separate Trumas and Maestros, not on Yontif and not on Shabbos. And so what are you going to do with the Stam Mishnah? Lo kasha kam b'chovah shekavu lam zman, kam b'chovah she'in kavu lam zman. So the Gemara gives a very basic distinction, and that is as follows. If we're talking about something that does not have a kviyas man, that does not have to be brought today, so then that's the Mishnah in Beitza. If it does not have to be brought today, so you cannot be makdishit today, because there's no need to be makdishit today, and therefore simply postpone it for after Yontif or after Shabbos. On the other hand, if we're talking about the Karban Pesach where there's an obligation to bring it on the 14th day of Nisan, and today is the 14th day of Nisan, it also happens to be Shabbos as well, but since it is a Chova HaKavua Zman, it's an obligation which is bound by the calendar to be brought on this very day, so therefore Rav Yochanan says that's not what the Mishnah Beis is talking about, and therefore you are allowed to and even have an obligation to be Makdishit today, and that could be an easy way to distinguish between what Rav Yochanan is saying versus the Mishnah in Beitza. And this now gives us an opportunity to go ahead and to review our daf. We went over two points at the end of the 22nd parak of the Masechta. One, resetting a bone. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to reset a bone. And meanwhile, Shmuel has the gears in the Mishnah that says that you are allowed to reset the bone. And the Gemara says, and that, in fact, is the halacha. The Gemara tells a story about Rabbi Barachana being dragged into the Beis Medrash to actually validate that this, in fact, is what was said by Shmuel. What about a dislocated joint? Are you allowed to put it back into place? So the answer was no. Can we make the argument that if I can reset a bone on Shabbos, So then I could take a dislocated joint and put it back in place. The Gemara says, not necessarily. The two halachas are not necessarily connected to one another. Hajan lachavis, and that was the end of the 22nd parak. And started in terms of the beginning of the 23rd parak. So we talked about borrowing on Shabbos and Yontif from others with the understanding that you're going to pay back. So you can do so on Shabbos and Yontif for the purposes of Shabbos and Yontif. You could borrow wine, oil on Shabbos. As long as you say the words Hashileni and you do not say the word Halveni. A woman could borrow loaves of bread. And the Mishnah says is that if there was a question of trust that the lender is not going to get paid back, so the lender can go ahead and take collateral. And the Mishnah also adds, on Erev Pesach, when you're going to go over to the seller of animals to buy your animal on Erev Pesach, which happens to be Shabbos, again, what you'll do is you'll leave collateral so that the seller knows that you're going to come back and you're going to pay for your Karban Pesach. Three discussions that were had between Rava bar Rav Chanan and Abai. Number one, why is our Mishnah so bent on the idea that you have to say the word Hashileni as opposed to Halveni? And the answer, succinctly put, is that Hashileni, being that that's the language that's used, is going to remind people that this is Shabbos and this is Yontif, and even though this is a loan, and even though you're going to get paid back, but don't write it down. It is not to be recorded. And by using the word Hashileni, it's going to remind each other that this is not to be written down. A second discussion that was had is that we know on Yontif, even though there's a heter of Ochel Nefesh, but if you can make a shinui, so it is better to make a shinui. And meanwhile, we find that the women are not making a shinui, but the Gemara says to that, yeah, but there's simply no alternative. And when there's no alternative, so obviously you're not going to make a shinui. And the third discussion is, they had is that we find the Mishnah in Beitza says that you are not allowed to clap and dance on Yontif. And Rava says that you are not allowed to stand by the edge of the Mavui. And on top of that, also, Tosefes Yom Kippurim, you have to add on to Yom Kippur, meaning you have to start the fast, not right before Shkia, but sometime before Shkia, so that you're adding on to Yom Kippur. And meanwhile, we find that people are not careful about this, and why don't we say anything? And the Gemara employs the idea of Mutav Shiyu Shogim Volume Mezidim. Better to leave people in their ignorance so that they're only violating the Isser out of Shogeg. And once you inform them, so then they're going to be amazing. The Gemara then went on to discuss the question of Ribbis. If a loaf of bread is lent and the loaf of bread is paid back, this is the Isser de Rabbanan of Avak Ribbis. By the way, the term that's used in the Gemara of Metzia, which I didn't mention, is Sa B'Sa. But anyway, so this is going to be a question of Avak Ribbis, and Hillel is of the position that even a small loaf of bread is subject to this Isser of Avak Ribbis. And our Mishnah is not going like Hillel. And the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah is in fact going like Hillel. Our Mishnah is talking about where the price of bread is set. And so therefore, there's no concern about price fluctuation. On the other hand, Hillel was talking about a community where the price of bread is not set. And so therefore, there's fluctuation of price, and when you lend the bread and get paid back, you could get paid back with bread that's a higher value and violate the Isser of Avak Ribbis. When you lend something on Yontif and you want to get paid back, so what kind of recourse do you have? So that was the next discussion of the Gemara. Machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Can you take the person to court? Rabbi says you can take the person to court after Yontif. And Rav Yosef says you cannot take the person to court. The Gemara gave svara for each position, and the Gemara went through a couple of Mishnayos, but inconclusively we did not see from either Mishnah which position actually bears out to be quote-unquote more correct. Tosfos says the halacha falls like Rabbah, that even when a loan originates on Yontif, so you can take the person to court in order to get paid back. And finally, the last discussion we had is, can I be Maktish an animal on Shabbos? Rav Yochanan says you can. The Mishnah and Beitza says you can't, and the resolution is that the Mishnah and Beitza is talking about a carbon that does not have a fixed time to be brought, and Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a carbon that does have a fixed time to be brought.